Good evening. Let's call to order the special planning commission meeting study session of October 13, 2025 at 6 p.m. The city doesn't tolerate disruptive behavior in our meetings. This planning commission meeting is considered a limited public forum, which means the commission can regulate the time, place, and the manner of speech. Speaker comments must be limited to the agenda item being considered by the commission. If a speaker's comments are not related to an agenda item, the presiding officer will rule the speaker out of order. A speaker will not be ruled out of order because of a disagreement with the content of their speech. Location and online meeting details are available on the Planning Commission agenda. Use the Show Caption button to view captions on Zoom. Following the study session, the regular Planning Commission meeting will begin at 7 p.m. We encourage the public to stay tuned and participate in the regular meeting. Roll call, recording officer, may we please have the roll call?
Commissioner Pine?
Present.
Commissioner Segura?
Present.
Vice Chair Shukla?
Present.
Commissioner Davis?
Present.
Commissioner Fagoni? Commissioner Cerrone?
Present.
We have five commissioners present and Chair Iglesias and Commissioner Fagoni absent.
Thank you. The Planning Commission study session for discussion and comment only for related application on 4.99 acre site. We are moving on the item PNG 2025-0137 and PLNG 2024-0072. This is a development agreement introduction of an ordinance approving and adopting a DA between the City of Sunnyvale and BEP Moffett Park LLC, site master plan SMP, to establish horizontal site planning and vertical floor area allocations, an SDP, special development permit, to demolish two existing office R&D buildings and all site work and construct a three-level office / R&D building over a three-level above-grade podium with podium-level private roof deck. And the location is 333-385 Moffett Park Drive. Is there an applicant report? Okay, so we have another commissioner present, and can you please make his presence approved? Thank you. And maybe we can have a report, please. Thanks.
We're good? Okay. I'll go ahead and start with the staff presentation. So Margaret Neto, the project planner, and Sean Mendrin, the planning officer, are both not here this evening, so I'm filling in. My name is Julia Klein, a principal planner. And again, the project before you this evening is for development of this site at 333-385 Moffett Park Drive. Just a quick summary for those who might be watching remotely. The proposed project is a new office building. Overall, it's going to be six stories. The approximate square footage is about 294,000 square feet. And the project includes above-grade parking, as Vice Chair Shukla mentioned. The required planning permit approvals include the development agreement, the site master plan, which establishes the building envelope and the development agreement benefits, which we'll go over a little bit later in the presentation, and also the site development permit for the building architecture, site layout, and landscaping. Next slide. Thank you. The project site is located along Moffett Park Drive and is accessed by multiple driveways off of that street. As you know, on the aerial, there is an easement along the dash line to the left, so that's the west side of the property. Through that driveway, users can access the multiple buildings off of that shared driveway, which we'll go over in a little bit more detail later on. Next slide. For general background, the project is located in an area of the city that's covered by the Moffett Park specific plan. The zoning designation is Moffett Park Office 2, and currently on site there are two office buildings, one approximately 10,000 square feet and the other one about 80,000 square feet. Next slide. This is a pull from the site plan for the project. As you'll note, the two buildings are noted, are shown in the white part. And then there is a laneway along the left side. And there is a above grade private open space shown in the middle. Additionally, there is landscaping along the front edge and on all four sides of the property. And the next few slides are the renderings along the different elevations. This current one is showing the front elevation that's facing Moffett Park Drive. You'll notice that it's two buildings, and in the middle is a landscaping area that's meant to be a pollinator garden. It is sloped. Next slide. So this is the view on the west side, so the laneway side. And this is the driveway that will access the rear of the property as well as other properties off of the shared laneway. Next slide. This is the view at the rear of the property. And you'll notice that there are steps leading up to the podium landscape area. And also around where the entrance of the stairs is, there's going to be a bike station, bike repair station, and public bike area as well. You can't really see it too well, but when we cover the benefits, community benefits, we can talk about that. Next slide. So this is the view along, again, this is sort of the west side, but just the entire view of the west side. Next slide. And then this is the along Moffett Park Drive, looking at the right side of the property of the building. Next slide. And for a full perspective, if you're driving along Moffett Park Drive, you'll see the left side of the you'll see the laneway side, then the front elevation, and then the right side. Next slide. And then the aerial view. The project applicant is also here, and their architect, as part of their presentation, can get into the details about the architectural intent and where their design interests are for this. Next slide. Another view from the a portion of the front of the property that provides a little bit more detail. And then next slide. As I mentioned earlier, there is a development benefit component of development agreement component of this project. And the reason for that is the project is tapping into a development reserve, which is available to projects that are in the Moffett Park specific plan area. But with that includes the project will have to provide some benefits to the city, to the community. So here is a summary of the benefits to the city and the community. So there is a monetary, a $3.1 million for additional square footage. The project is proposing LEED Platinum, which is something that the Moffett Park specific plan tries to encourage. There's a $12,000 that POPA is for publicly available open space area that's privately maintained. There's the hillside pollinator garden that I mentioned earlier that's along the front of the property. There's the bike repair station at the rear of the property. And there is a space along the front of the property for a future connector shuttle. So that is something that's a benefit to the community. On the developer side, they would be allowed to tap into the development reserve. There is a parking adjustment and accommodations for the laneway to phase it. And sorry about my voice. The developer can go into that in a little bit more detail as well in some of their drawings. Next slide. Overall, the project includes the site master plan and the special development permit. In the Moffett Park specific plan area, typically the permitting process is a two-step process. You come in for the site master plan, which covers the horizontal layout. And then subsequently, you can come in for the special development permit for the vertical design. In this case, the applicant is proposing to combine the two together, and so they will be coming forward to the Planning Commission at the public hearing with both pieces of components of the project and together. Based on staff's review, the project complies with all development standards. The proposed FAR is 1.35, which is consistent with the Moffett Park specific plan, provided that there is the DA to allow that to tap into that development reserve. The project is proposing to remove protected trees, but 52 protected trees, but it will be replacing with 87. Next slide. There was a community outreach meeting that was hosted on Thursday, September 25th. City staff, including myself, attended the meeting, the applicant's team, and there was a representative from the Moffett Park Business Group. However, no other attendees attended that meeting, and staff has not received any public comments regarding this project. Next slide. So I need to apologize. There's an extra bullet here. For this evening, what staff is looking for commission feedback on is the project design and site planning, so the site layout as well as design details. You can ignore the last bullet. So that concludes staff's presentation. Are there any questions for me? Otherwise, the applicant team is here. I think they're ready to make the presentation.
Let me see if there is a question. I don't see any hand. Maybe we, yes, we have one question. Please, yeah.
Thank you. Yep, thank you. Well, you did preempt my first question, which was about the concessions and waivers. But I did have a question about the development reserve. There are three, so under the Moffett Park specific plan, there's like different pots of development reserve. There's the base FAR reserve. There's a small project reserve, which this would not qualify for, I believe. And there's also the neighborhood specific reserve. Which pot would this be coming out of?
Are you looking at page 83 of the specific plan
for that table? This is on page 94 of the specific plan.
94? Let me take a look real quick. Did you say 94?
Well, it's on. It's 94.
Yeah. So this site is located in the Soja neighborhood. There's a table, table four on page.
Right.
95, so they're tapping into the neighborhood. So it's this the third column.
Okay, cool. So that, and I'll just state for the record, so that's a reserve of total of slightly under 2.5 million square feet. So we would have, we'd have 2.47, just doing the math in my head, we would have 2.2 some and change
yeah.
Million square feet left over. This is this would be using roughly 10%, slightly under 10% of that pot. So just wanted to put that out there for the record. That was all I had for now. I will have some questions for the applicant in all likelihood. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Martin. Mike.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Thanks for the presentation. I just had a couple of questions about, you mentioned the connector shuttle. Did you say there was a space for a shuttle to park if, in fact, there was a shuttle? But is anybody providing a shuttle?
So the space is there, and if a future tenant in the building was interested in providing a shuttle, they can do that. But the developer currently is not proposing to provide a shuttle, but the space is there, and it is a benefit to the public in the sense that they're pushing the sidewalk onto private property, you know, in order to accommodate that shuttle space.
I see. And what is the parking adjustment?
So there is, within the parking, there is a public component. So there's a portion of the required 800, there's a total of 800 parking spaces being provided approximately. A portion of that, 500 or so of that, is going to be available for the future tenants in the building. And then there is a component of that that's available for general public parking, which is shared. So that's also part of the terms of the DA. I don't have the full information on that, but perhaps the applicant can explain a little bit more.
Okay. And why is the laneway considered a benefit? It's just a road next to the...
So the Moffett Park specific plan does require a laneway access, just not as wide. And so right now, what the developer is proposing is an additional public benefit by providing beyond what's the dimension that's required in the Moffett Park specific plan, they're extending the sidewalk onto private property. So it makes the effective laneway much wider than what's, you know, the minimum required in the specific plan. You'll note in the drawings that it is going to be phased. So initially in phase one, the laneway will be improved by the developer. For a portion of it, and then phase two, if the adjacent property that's owned by a different property owner redevelops that site, there's a condition of approval that would require this property owner for 333 to work with the adjacent property owner to fully implement the laneway that's required in the Moffett Park specific plan. But the community benefit is the larger, the wider laneway.
Okay, go ahead. Just looking at the architecture, and maybe this is for the applicant, but don't we have requirements for, you know, for breaking up the architectural design to, you know, every 50 feet to have an indent or something or that kind of thing, or it seems like there are most of the projects we look at have requirements like that, but I don't see anything like that here.
The architect can definitely go into that in a little bit more detail in terms of the inspiration for this. Instead of a visual break that you would typically see where there's a jog in the facade, the current design is, if you look at it from an aerial perspective, it's more of a bow tie. So it's an angular differentiation in terms of the wall plane. And again, you know, the architect took inspiration from different places, and so they can elaborate a little bit more on that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. We have Mr. Segura, please. Thank you. You mentioned that some protective trees are going to be removed. What kind of trees are being removed, and what are we planting instead? Maybe that's for the applicant. Perfect, thank you.
So for those who are watching at home, the applicant responded that the landscape architect is available remotely, so can respond to that later.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all the questions. Can we have, let's see. Now I will, there is an applicant report, correct? So.
Yes. Mr. Dave Hardy for the applicant team is available.
Oh, we have, sorry about it. Just a minute. We have another hand raised and I missed it. Mr. Figoni, please. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh. Yeah, just a quick question. So I was trying to look on the in the parking here, but I'm assuming there's handicap parking, but is it all going to be in the garage or will some of it be near the entrances of the building? Because sometimes you always want to have the shortest distance, right? I can't quite see on here. Is there any parking on the first ground level and
it's yes.
With the handicap parking?
Yeah, there's
be up there near the entrances.
There is parking. There's entrances off the rear of the property that includes ADA parking.
Okay.
And then there's also ADA parking within the garage itself.
Okay.
So great. There's both.
So you can park on the ground.
Yes.
You don't always have to go in the garage.
Correct.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. I think that covers all the questions we have for you. So yes, please, applicant can have presentation.
Hi there, how's this sound? Thank you to the commission for giving me the time this evening to present Ellis Partners' project, which we call Platform Moffett Park. Before I start, I also want to thank the Sunnyvale City staff for their partnership throughout this process. This is the first commercial application under the new Moffett Park specific plan, and it's never easy being first. It has been a process of mutual diligence, collaboration, respect, and understanding that brings us here today. So we appreciate Julia and all she's done and all of the city personnel who have touched this application. And I'm thrilled to be presenting a great project to you tonight. First, a bit about Ellis Partners. We have a 32-year history of Bay Area-focused development. And we're a team of 23 real estate professionals. We have deep experience across all product types. And our success really comes from our ethos that we want to create spaces that support the needs of the community and respond to the surrounding environment, both built and natural. As an extension to that, we take pride in our efforts to partner with cities and communities to execute a shared vision. I'll also note that we own another property in Sunnyvale at 755 on North Matilda Avenue. So we're a stakeholder in the city in a number of ways. A quick overview of the Moffett Park specific plan. A lot of this I'm probably telling you things you already know, but it adds 11.1 million square feet of commercial FAR throughout the plan area. As discussed, about 2.4 million of that is in the Soja neighborhood where our project is located. It also adds up to 20,000 new homes. The residential and mixed use areas are smartly placed along the interior of the plan along Java Drive and the VTA. And the larger office projects are on the perimeter of the plan, including where our project is along Moffett Park Drive, where you can see the star on the map. So as I'll show you, our project is the right use and right size in the right location. Our project, Platform Moffett Park, is a 294,000 square foot office and research facility designed to serve the needs of the next generation of innovative companies that call Moffett Park home. The project is LEED Platinum and is the first commercial development application under the new version of the Moffett Park specific plan. There are 800 parking spaces and there's 1 acre of private open space. The key to the project is the podium design, which is an innovative approach developed by HGA architects. There are three parking levels in the podium with 2 3-level office buildings perched on top. And elevating the buildings like this has several advantages. First, it creates high security without fences on the ground plane. So security is paramount for technology and innovation companies, perhaps now more than ever. And placing the workspaces three levels in the air creates a hard layer of security that cannot be matched without unfriendly and disruptive fences and gates on the ground plane, none of which we have on our project. The podium also avoids the need for an unsightly standalone parking structure. The parking areas are concealed by the ground floor programming, like lobbies, creation space, and the really cool hillside pollinator garden that Julia pointed out and is also in the top right of this image here. And that fronts Moffett Park Drive and Highway 237. Elevating the buildings also means that workplaces start on the fourth floor, thus enhancing light, air, and views at all workplace levels. The buildings are designed with a bow tie shape, which is another innovative approach. It creates drama and visual interest and maintains the strong building form while also exceeding facade modulation standards. So to elaborate on that a little bit, there's the question from Commissioner Cerrone about the facade breaks. And so we had reviewed that in detail and looked at a number of different alternatives there, and we reviewed it with planning staff as well, and really calculated that this modulation, this bow tie shape, creates a larger relief in the facade, while also what we feel is maintaining a very strong design throughout. So we're committed to this building typology. Happy to answer more questions about that as we go. The slab heights are up to 20 feet, and there's highly desirable floor plates of approximately 40,000 square feet, which to serve today's tenants. The structure is designed to be mass timber ready, and what that means is that the structural framing, the column spacing, and then the shear elements have been designed so that it can be either steel or a mass timber structure. Placed on top of the podium, along with the buildings, is a 1-acre private and secured park. It's another benefit of the podium design. The park will support a variety of outdoor programming for the tenants, from fitness to outdoor dining to events, to an events lawn and amphitheater. The building orientation optimizes sunlight to the park space and shelters wind. And the views of the bay and the mountains will be spectacular from the elevated space. All of the plantings on this podium are pollinator supportive and native plants. There are three parking levels with 800 total stalls. 218 of the stalls are public and 582 of them are private. The ground level is the public level, and there's a dedicated public entrance off the laneway on the west side of the project. The second and third levels are private, and there's a dedicated private entrance in the back of the building. There's dedicated loading dock on each side of the podium to serve the buildings above, and there are front and rear lobbies for each of the office buildings above, are also within this parking volume. Onto the design of the workplace levels. As I said before, the floor plates are between 37,000 and 46,000 square feet. The floor-to-floor dimension is 20 feet at the podium level and 16 foot six on the upper levels. The podium level is designed to accommodate amenity spaces that connect to the private park, including cafe, fitness, wellness, and co-working and executive briefing. Each building has two cores, which allows for convenience for the building occupants, of course, but also multi-tenant flexibility and secured elevator service if that is needed by a tenant. The podium level workspaces are optimized for R&D use. Not only are they 20 feet high, but they also will be low vibration spaces due to the fact that they sit on the concrete podium. Down at the street level, we are implementing a public realm that delivers the complete street and micro-mobility goals of the specific plan. We are upgrading the street section along Moffett Park Drive and installing a new laneway on the west side of the site. There are multi-use shared paths along each of those frontages, which will greatly improve connectivity to Humboldt Court and the bike network to the north. We're also providing expansive, privately owned, publicly accessible areas along Moffett Park Drive and a bike repair station that we will maintain as a public amenity. We're also providing a shuttle bus stop along Moffett Park Drive, and our hope is that the TMA shuttle will eventually stop there when that TMA shuttle program is activated. And finally, we are implementing 31,000 square feet of new planted area at the street level. Our approach to the creation space is another innovative part of the project. As you may know, creation space is a Moffett Park specific plan requirement and an ambitious element of the plan to dedicate 7.5% of the FAR to space that supports creation uses. And we really leaned in on making this space a prominent feature on the project and a great space to work. So the creation space is high bay space right on the laneway with a dedicated entrance, roll-up doors that open to a dedicated patio, and also direct access to loading and parking. A lot of this is repeat, and I'm running out of time, so I'll tell you the Moffett Park is a LEED Platinum and all-electric design. Structure is mass timber ready. We have a half megawatt of solar on the roofs. We have 203 EV chargers on day one, and we also have increased the size of our stormwater systems to capture additional off-site runoff from city streets. In the interest of time, I also won't go through this slide in detail other than to say that the project complies with the Moffett Park specific plan standards and does not require exceptions to those standards. It supports all the goals and policies of the specific plan, a handful of which I've listed here, where I feel our design employs an innovative approach to supporting the goals of the plan.
Your time is up.
Like, yes, you want to... This was my last slide.
Okay.
Which covers the same community benefits that Julie already did. So thank you all so much for the time.
We do have some questions for you. So okay. Our Commissioner Davis, please.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation, both staff and applicant. In the aggregate, I really like what I see here. I had a question about the LEED Platinum status and the steel or mass timber. Does steel or mass timber make a difference for LEED Platinum?
No, it does. I'm sure if you have a mass timber structure that there would be benefits towards meeting your LEED goals, but our project will be LEED Platinum with a steel structure.
Okay. And how would you... what's the decision process when we get there to choose between the two?
Really, the tenant market is going to, at where we're at right now, we're going to let the tenant market choose. If we go to spec build this, then we would need to choose steel or timber. But as of right now, as we're marketing it, it's going to be driven largely by tenant demand for either product.
Okay. General feedback that I have. I think about these and like, would I want to work here, right? Would I find it pleasant to, in this case, probably ride my bike over 237, right on the bridge with the terrible exit onto Moffett Park Lane? Would this be? Yeah, would I look forward to going into the office? And from what I've seen in this, I would. This seems like a really good project. You're not asking for any waivers or any changes to our standards. I like what I see here. I guess the one point of feedback is that the printouts, the print is really, really small.
Okay.
I was younger, yeah. I wore glasses, so I don't think I could have ever read the print on these.
I appreciate the kind words, and the prints are supposed to be probably 24 by 36, but 30 by 40. They're shrunk down to meet that. But if you need a larger printout, we'd be happy to.
Not now, yeah. But when we larger printouts when it comes before in a regular session, that would probably be helpful.
Certainly.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. We have Mr. Pine, please.
Thank you. Okay, so overall, I also really like the design of this project. I like all the pedestrian bike improvements. I really, really like the kind of middle, the kind of center green area just from a Moffett Park. If you're walking on Moffett Park Drive, that really, that it breaks up the massing by just having a big open space green area there, which I think is awesome. And one of the key goals of the Moffett Park plan is, you know, is the whole eco-friendly nature of it and the pollinator. You know, we have the pollinator hillside garden, which I think is a really neat way of having a security of just combining security interests with also have it being environmentally friendly. I did have a couple of questions, and I'll start there actually, which is the plant palette. I looked at the plant palette on page L0.01, and I did notice that I'm still seeing a bunch of the of what it feels like are the city's favorite non-native species. And I note that one of the goals of the Moffett Park specific plan was to basically try to not have those to the extent possible. I know they're not actually banned by the policy, but I still see crepe myrtles. I still see Chinese elm. I'm just kind of looking at this and I'm just kind of wondering why we are using those species and we can't just go the extra mile to just go kind of more all out on using native species.
I am not a landscape architect. I appreciate the guidance. We will take that away and talk with our landscape architect about the plant palette. And if so, we had heard the. I think you mentioned two. Is there a full list of plants that you're concerned with?
The other thing is I would just actually call your attention to Appendix B of the Moffett Park specific plan, which is the recommended which is the list of recommended native species for various
for the plan area. Okay.
So like everything, it's like the stuff in Appendix B is the stuff I'm really happy to see.
Okay. Thank you for that.
And the other one, and this is, I am nitpicking, but regarding the public path on Moffett Park Drive, most of this is great. But if I looking at A1.01, there's like this tiny little thing in the west, in the eastern corner of the property where like your property line kind of hits like a little island that's basically kind of shared with the adjacent property owner. And it's not clear to me whether the public path that's included in the public path. And frankly, I don't even need that now, but I would like to have some assurance that I guess when that will become a sidewalk or shared path at some point. That some point can be when the eastern property redevelops. I just don't want to have a weird sidewalk, little tiny sidewalk gap there in the long run.
I can connect with you afterwards and just make sure I understand which corner you're talking about.
Uh-huh. I was gonna say, I have a little blue circle around it.
Top left or bottom right. Yes.
On A1.01.
Okay. Yes.
So I think we are taking the Moffett Park specific plan standard, which is a shared use pathway, all the way to the limits of our property, and so as part of our project, that's the limits of what we're able to implement.
Yeah. Okay. It didn't look like there was a path there on the rendering, but also this is a really weird thing where if I'm reading the plan right, it like bisects, like the property line like bisects the little island there. So I could be misinterpreting. I'm just I'm just trying to make sure we don't have like a weird island sidewalk gap in like 20 years when everything redevelops.
Our Patrick Connors with BKF is our civil engineer who drew up the sidewalk plans.
Yeah, and the intent there would be, we'll have to kind of take a maybe a closer look at it, but the intent is to transition back to the existing condition at the neighboring property. So the, as Dave mentioned, the new multi-use path would be built along the this property frontage, and then we would find a way to transition that to the frontage along the neighboring property.
I get where you're coming from. It just, the existing frontage along the neighboring property is not what I want the frontage of the neighboring property to look like whenever they redevelop. I have no idea when or if that will be. It's just, the thing is that, like, when they come, like, when that, if when that property were to come before us and they wanted to keep the existing frontage, I would say, no, you are out of compliance with the Moffett Pacific plan. Try again.
Yeah, I think our goal is to set the whole frontage up for success whenever adjacent properties come along.
Okay, we can circle back on that.
Okay.
And again, this is, again, I'm being very, very pedantic here. I'm just trying to make sure that, you know, in like 20, 30 years, it's all good and nobody's having to like clamber over a weird grass island that was kind of a no man's land between properties. But that's all I had. Other than that, I think it's a good project. Overall, it's a very good project. I look forward to a coming back for public hearing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Pine. We have a next Commissioner Cerrone, please.
Thank you. Maybe this is for staff, but why do we have public parking in this project?
It's also considered a community benefit in the sense that when you step back and look at the zoning for this area, kitty corner to this site is a property that's zoned for residential. So in theory, in the future, if that property were to redevelop as residential, perhaps those residents would not need to, that developer would not need to build on-site parking, and instead there could be a shared component. So that's an idea. Or if the two adjacent commercial properties were to redevelop, there could also be, you know, that shared parking component. So it's sort of anticipating and providing an opportunity for the future.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was hoping that was the intent. Although I noticed walking around the existing property, all the neighboring commercial developments have signs up, no Google parking. We can worry about that, I guess, in some future date if there is a residential development there, and I hope there is. All right, thank you.
Anybody has any question? Because I do have some few questions. So my question is that the glasses, you have created the facade with glasses, and is it bird safe? Because you have these variations of like the transparent and so because.
I'll let Casey Cromer with HJ Architects provide a little more color on that. But we did have H.T. Harvey, who's an ecologist, assisted with our bird safing design. So we feel that it's compliant, but Casey can give you a little more information.
I mean, that's basically what I was going to say as well. There was an avian assessment document provided that took into account the Sunnyvale and Moffett Park specific plan bird safing requirements. That report was submitted to staff, so it has been reviewed as well. And we do on our elevation sheets, I think I have it written down here, A3.01 and A3.11, you'll see that it is documented on the facades where it is applied. And below there are some schedules that show what the bird safing treatment would look like.
So. And also I have the same questions about, because you are an ecologist, so when you created a podium and then the trees, you are going to put the drought tolerant shrubs and trees on the podium with different spaces. Are they going to be like you have to select certain types of trees, correct? Because there is a only deep certain
the depth soil is of only the base, certain depth, yeah. Correct.
And then it will be maintained, or this is part of the conditions or something. That because it really looks amazing on the rendering.
Correct.
But I wonder that is it going to be like that 3 years down the road or 5 years down the road? So just curious about that, that you have selected the species.
I'm not a landscape architect, but I know they do take that into account in terms of the soil depth, the size of the tree when they do plant it, and the amount of soil around it that it can grow into. So it should be accounted for in terms of what size tree we can actually.
So there you have limitations, but like on the sides, you have the soil and wherever you're putting the trees, hopefully they are like oaks and, you know, as my fellow member said, that should be more taller trees or something.
Correct.
I mean, I see that you have done it, but just mentioning it again.
I mean, obviously.
Question I have is about the space, creator space. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be like community benefits? So will you be able to rent to the public, because the public parking is so assuming that they'll be able to use the pollinator garden, park there, and go to the creator space?
The creator space is, the intent of it is that it serves creation uses, which is, there's a definition in the plan, but it's similar to a PDR type of use. So there's a limitation on what the use can be. Within that space. As far as the parking access to it, they would be provided access to the public parking or the private parking, you know, commensurate with their lease terms. And then similar with the access to the park. It's hard for me to say exactly what their access would be. It would be, you know, commensurate with their lease terms, which is to be negotiated in the future. But there is not a specific plan requirement on how a creation space is parked or what its specific open spaces are. But I will say that the creation space, if we had my presentation up, we could go back to it. But the creation space does have its own dedicated private patio in front, which we thought was a pretty cool feature of that. Thank you for bringing this back up. Here it is. Yeah, so in the bottom right, you can see that area in between the sidewalk and the building frontage is a patio, and that's private property that is dedicated to that creation space.
Thank you. That's good, because we also I like the project that you have brought. I mean, it's going to be the whole Moffett Park development. We want the high density, so bringing the parking on the floor probably are saving some money, and also I hope you can continue building wood timber, because climate. I mean, it'll be nice if it fits in your tenants' requirements, and that would be, we would love to see that, because there is a completely different feel of the timber building. So.
No, the timber story is a great one, and we would be thrilled if this ultimately was a timber building.
Thank you. But otherwise, it's a great project to start with our Moffett Park specific city.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we have any, Chris, Mr. Figoni, sorry about, I thought I'm talking the last one, but please go ahead.
Thank you for your presentation, it's very informative. The question I had is, are you looking to have one tenant in both these buildings, or could this be like a split unit where there's multiple tenants, and then what type of tenants are you looking for that you think this will reach out to with the types of design you have, or amenities, or there's, you know, I'm just kind of curious, what's your market with this particular design for customers?
I would say that with this design and with any of our designs, we definitely strive for flexibility. So, and with the way that we've designed these buildings, from a holistic perspective of the site, you know, each side of the building has a loading dock. There's a lobby that serves each building. There's a lobby and a rear lobby that serves each building. And all of the elevator towers go down into the parking level. So the buildings, we're definitely setting it up that the buildings themselves could be leased separately. And then within each building, we have designed in the flexibility to have multiple tenants on each floor with how we've laid out the cores and the restrooms and the circulation space. So we're very keen to maintain flexibility in our designs, and we've really achieved that here along with HGA Architects. As far as, you know, who this project will be marketed to, I mean, we're gonna, you know, market it to a wide, we're gonna put it out to the market and really see what comes back. We'd be thrilled if there was a single tenant or two tenants who took the whole thing. That would help it get out of the ground quickest. But we have built in the flexibility to go in a number of different directions.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Maybe the landscape architect can answer the questions that we had before.
We've been trying to track it down. So there are, and we might have to come back to you on this, if we could do it via email. So I apologize, unless you guys have gotten a response. With the holiday, some people are unable to join. But we are removing, I know that we are removing, there are some trees listed on the protected tree list. However, there are standards within the municipal code about the requirements to replace trees at a certain interval. I think for protected trees, it's at a 2-to-1 interval. And so we are complying with those requirements. But for specific questions about specific tree species, I do apologize. We just don't have the technical experts here on hand today.
Well, they listed the trees that will be planted, but I did not see any protective tree, like maybe an oak or something like that. And I was wondering what was the ratio of protective tree versus non-protective tree.
What is the ratio of protective tree? Okay. We will, if it's okay, we can email you in the coming days with more information on that.
That's fine. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I will go ahead and open the public comments on this item. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer. Raise your digital hand now or dial *9 on the telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I will call on members of the public participating in person first, followed by remote participants. Speaker will have 3 minutes to speak. Does anyone, okay, so do we have any person to speak in person on this specific topic? If it is not for this one, we are going to have a meeting 7 o'clock. The regular meeting starts as soon as we finish this, and you can speak on that. Okay.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Eli Robles, representative for NorCal Carpenters Local 405 in San Jose. I'm here today to speak in support of implementing state accredited apprenticeship standards, carpenter area standard wages, and comprehensive health care for the development of Moffitt Park Drive. This project represents the potential and opportunity to invest in the people who build Sunnyvale. By requiring apprenticeship programs, we ensure that workers are properly trained, safe on the job, and equipped with skills to deliver high-quality construction. These programs don't just teach technical skills, they create career pathways for local residents, including veterans and young people. Second, area standard wages for carpenters are not just a matter of fairness, they are a matter of sustainability. When workers are paid appropriately, they can afford to live in the communities they serve. It reduces turnover, improves productivity, and strengthens our local economy. We should not be building prosperity on the backs of underpaid labor. And final, healthcare construction is physically demanding and often dangerous. Workers deserve access to healthcare, not just for themselves, but for their families. When we support health and well-being of our workforce, we reduce public health burdens and build a more resilient community. I also want to make it clear I'm not here to oppose the project. I'm here to lend a hand and ready to assist the developer in identifying a responsible general contractor, one who already meets these standards and shares our commitment to building Sunnyvale the right way. Let's make this project a model for responsible development, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Do we have anyone to remote?
We do not, Vice Chair.
Thank you. So that's, I will close the public comment. And so the study session is adjourned at 6:56. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have,
Hi, how are you, Dave?
Yes.
Phil Smith. Yeah.
We have some announcement, maybe. Oh, sorry.
Good evening. Let's call to order the Planning Commission meeting of date October 13, 2025 at 7 p.m. The city doesn't tolerate disruptive behavior in our meetings. Sunnyvale provides itself on the rich diversity of our residents. We are committed to creating a culture of belonging where members of our diverse community feel included, safe, and respected. The Planning Commission meeting is considered a limited public forum, which means the commission can regulate the time, place, and manner of speech. Speaker comments must be limited to the agenda item being considered by the commission for consent calendar or public hearing items. Speaker comments during oral communication must be limited to matters within the commissioner's authority, generally referred to as within the commissioner's subject matter jurisdiction. If a speaker comments are not related to an agenda item, the presiding officer will rule the speaker out of order. A speaker will not be ruled out of the order because of a disagreement with the content of their speech. Location and online meeting details are available on the Planning Commission agenda. Use the show caption below button to view captions on Zoom. Comments on matters not on the agenda must be submitted prior to the time I call the item for oral communication. Comments on agenda items must be submitted prior to the time I close the public hearing on the agenda items. Speakers are requested to keep their comments to the time period set for public comments for the agenda items, which will be strictly enforced. Guidelines are posted on the city's website and on the Planning Commission meeting agenda. Let's salute to the flag. Please join me in the salute to the flag. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Recording officer, will you please have the roll call?
Commissioner Fagoni?
Present.
Vice Chair Shukla?
Present.
Commissioner Pine?
Present.
Commissioner Segura?
Present.
Commissioner Davis?
Present.
Commissioner Cerrone?
Present.
We have six commissioners present, and Chair Iglesias' absence is excused.
Thank you. Oral communication. This is now the public's opportunity to address the commission on topics not listed on tonight's agenda. This session is limited to 15 minutes and may be extended or continued after the public hearing or general business section of the meeting. Individuals may only speak once during oral communications. The Planning Commission meeting is a limited public forum, and the commission can regulate the time, place, and manner of speech. Speaker comments during oral communication must be limited to matters within the commission's authority, which is known as commission subject matter jurisdiction. If a speaker's comments are outside the commission's subject matter jurisdiction, the presiding officer will rule the speaker out of order. This allows the commission to conduct its business in reasonably efficient manner and protects the rights of other speakers. A speaker will not be ruled out of order because of disagreements within the content of the speech. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer. Raise your digital hand now or dial *9 on telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I will call on members of public participation in person first allowed by remote participants. Do we have anybody? You? No. Okay, thank you. Do we have anybody wishing to speak virtually?
We do not.
No, thank you so much. Okay, so I will go ahead and close oral communication. Now, we have the consent calendar, and we go ahead and open public comment on consent calendar items. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer, raise your digital hand now, or dial *9 on a telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I will call on the public participation in person first, followed by remote participants. Don't see anybody here, consent calendar. Okay, so does anyone here want to speak on a consent calendar item before we hear from a remote speaker? No, okay. Do we have any remote?
We do not, Vice Chair.
Thank you. I will close the public comments. Now I will, before we ask for a motion, we have some public announcement which comes after? Or shall we go?
Please read the public announcement now. It should have been read during oral communications, but okay. It should be announced.
Oh, I should have read in the oral. Maybe I'll read it now next time. Okay. So we have the some public announcement. Yes, it says read during oral communication. Sorry about it. United Against Hate Week. United Against Hate Week is a community-driven campaign designed to raise awareness, foster inclusion, and stand together against all forms of hate, bias, discrimination. Its purpose is to bring people together to promote unity, encourage understanding, inspire actions, and celebrate diversity as a source of strength. As a part of this effort, City will host two special events highlighting our community's commitment to equity and inclusion. The first event is sharing their story and LGBTQ plus panel dialogues. So that's the first one, and it happens, the event will take place on Thursday, October 21st from 3 to 5 in person at City Hall. Registration is required to attend. For more information and to register, visit sunnyvale.ca.gov and search Sunnyvale Unity or contact 408-730-7950. And second event is Sustainability Speaker Series event, and it's a United for Disability and Climate Justice. So this is going to be the Daphne Friars, a 27-year-old Latina and disability rights advocate with cerebral palsy, will share her powerful perspective on the intersection of disability rights and climate justice. So this event will take place virtually on Monday, October 27th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Registration is required to attend. For more information and to register, visit sunnyvale.ca.gov. and search Sustainability Speaker Series or contact 408-730-7717. Okay, so now this is going to be the oral communication, but I will close that public comments and oral communication. Okay, so now, do we have anybody to make motion for the meetings last we had? Yes, please. Commissioner Pine.
Thank you. I move the consent calendar submitted.
Second, please, Mr. Commissioner Davies.
Yeah, I second it.
Thank you. So this is, okay, so record. Please conduct a vote, recording officer.
The motion passes with 6 yeses and Chair Iglesias absent.
I will close public comment on this item. Oh, sorry, I'm behind. Sorry about it. Okay, so is there anything general business? Anything you want to report?
Yes, I can make the planning officers announcement. So on October 21st, the City Council public hearing will include an evaluation of the City of Sunnyvale study issues process. Additionally, the Council will likely change the Board and Commission role in the strategic work plan process to one of the following. One, each Board Commission recommends one Council priority idea each year. Two, remove boards and commissions from the strategic work plan process. Additionally, there will likely be one agendized discussion relating to the council priority idea annually. This would replace the study issues related agenda items currently scheduled for each board and commission. So if you're interested in this subject, you know, definitely watch or attend the city council meeting. So that concludes staff's announcement.
Thank you. So that's conf- no. Okay. So we have. Do commissioners have any non-agenda item or comments? I don't see any hand. So, okay. So the meeting is adjourned at 7:10 p.m. And I want to thank everyone for your participation in tonight's meeting and supporting me, my first time here. Thank you.